Luke chapter 9 in your Bibles. Luke chapter 9. And verse 23 says this, "And he said to them all," just like he is speaking to every one of us tonight, "and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" We're going to be talking about why people quit God. I want you to go with me now to the end of this chapter. And let's begin reading in verse 57. There's two words in this portion that will tell us why a lot of people quit God, quit serving Him. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus said unto him, think about this, what he's saying to the guy. "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And he said unto another, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." His attitude is given in those two words, "me first." The Lord said, "Follow me," and he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let," here's the attitude again, "but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Why are there so many people that used to serve God faithfully but are not doing it anymore? Some of them not even in church. I'm going to give you a general reason for that, and then we're going to look at three practical reasons. The general reason is this: because there is a cost involved if you are going to serve God faithfully full time. That cost is the cost of love, or I could even say the cost of the cross. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If you're going to serve God, you have to learn to deny yourself. You have to get to the point where you're not saying, "Me first, Lord." You're at the point where you say, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do." And so the general reason is because there is just a cost involved. Now I want to give you three practical reasons why people quit serving the Savior. First of all, because of the pull of the world. You understand, because we all have the same struggle that's going on in our soul. There is a warfare, a struggle of two natures. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And we're going to begin reading in verse 15. Romans chapter 7. And you're going to have to kind of stay with it, because it's kind of hard to understand, but it'll all kind of come out if we read the rest of the chapter. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I don't have a clue. I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, we all do. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. And this is the Apostle Paul saying this. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Does that make sense to you? Absolutely. We all struggle with that. When Peter, James, and John was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ told Peter, I want you to watch and pray. And you know the story. Peter went over there and fell asleep. Okay, and the Lord came to him. And he made this statement, and every one of us have dealt with this in our life. He said, Peter, the spirit is willing, but the old flesh is weak. And if I know anything about the flesh, it is weak. And we have that struggle that is going on in our soul. Now I want you to go with me to the little book of Philemon. And let's pick up the last of this book, begin reading verse 22. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. I want to come to you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, and Marcus, and Aristarchus, and Demas, and Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. He mentions four or five guys here, and he says, they're just my fellow laborers. And one of them's name is Demas. Okay, I want you to go with me to Colossians chapter 4. Back up a couple of books in your Bible. Colossians chapter 4 and look at verse 14. Paul once again is talking to some friends. And he says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Paul is recognizing Demas as a good friend of his, a fellow servant, a fellow prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And look at verse 10. Boy, this is sad. Because in those other two verses, he talks about Demas and what a good friend he is. And here he says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Old Demas, who was a good friend of Paul, he forsook Paul. And the reason is simply because it costs us to serve the Lord. And there is a struggle that is going on in each one of our souls. Okay? The second reason, practical reason that people quit serving the Lord is simply the love of money. I want you to go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And every one of you that is content and there is that godliness that is associated with your life, that is great gain for all of us. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. No one has ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. You can't take it with you. I don't care what you have. You cannot take it with you. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. For they that will be rich, these are people that maybe when they're a kid, the one thing that they are known for as a kid is, as a kid they say, when I get big, I want to be rich. And then that stays with them. And they go through high school and they go through college and they enter a career. But the one attitude they have is, I want to be rich. Okay? But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is still the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Go with me now to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. We'll begin reading in verse 10. Luke chapter 16. The Bible says this: He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, mammon is money, okay? If you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Money is not true riches. Let me tell you what true riches is. It is love and honor and acceptance and people knowing you and thinking about you and praying for you. That's what true riches are. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Then the Lord just narrows it way down. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can't do it, folks. That's not me saying, this is the Lord Jesus Christ saying, you cannot serve God and money. And the Pharisees also who were covetous heard all these things and they weren't happy. They derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Some men are highly esteemed simply because they made a lot of money. And God says, what is highly esteemed among men is abomination in my sight. Folks, it's pretty easy to understand. What I'm saying is don't covet. Don't desire what God doesn't want you to have. It says in Proverbs, labor not to be rich. You cannot serve God and money. There's a third reason why people quit God in a practical sense. And that is simply discouragement. Discouragement primarily takes place when you get your eyes off of God and get your eyes on people. And people will disappoint you and let you down and discourage you. If you've had your eyes on people in your Christian life, at some point they will do something that will disappoint you. We have to keep our eyes and our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go in the Old Testament for an example of this. We're going to be looking at David. 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27. First Samuel chapter 27, let's read verses 1 and 2. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. For heaven's sakes, he's fought the Philistines all his life. Goliath was from Gath, one of the Philistines' town. And he said, there's nothing better for me to do, I guess, than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. David gets his eyes off the Lord who has been so good to David and protected David and allowed him to win such wonderful battles. And he gets his eyes off of God and he starts looking around. He says, there's nothing better for me to do than go to my enemy's country and throw myself before them. And I'm going, oh, David, no, don't do that. Let's pick up the story in verses 5 and 6. And this is David speaking. Oh, goodness. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes. Achish is an immoral lost person. And David says, if I found grace in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant, David, a servant of the Most High God, saying this until a lost, immoral guy? should servant dwell in this royal city with thee? I'm not even good enough to dwell in your city, so give me a little old shack out back. Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. So what happens? David's gotten his eyes off of the Lord, of course. He is prostrating himself before a Philistine. And that's probably not going to work out too good for him. Okay, let's go to chapter 30 and pick up the story here. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small. And ladies and gentlemen, that is God's amazing grace that they didn't. Okay? But carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city and, oh my goodness, behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep, I bet. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, discouraged. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David got his eyes back on the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So what was the end result of this? Let's look at verses 18 and 19. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. That is God's grace that happened. Because David had gotten his eyes off the Lord and got it on Saul and others and got discouraged. And ladies and gentlemen, discouragement will cause some people to stop serving God. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the stories that you have given us in the Old Testament. And Father, you have said that every one of these stories there is for our admonition, so that we would not make the same mistakes that others made. And then, dear Father, the ones that followed you faithfully and truly, men like Job and men like Joseph, that we are to emulate them. So, Father, help us to do it. And we are thankful for your word. Bless the time of prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.